Courtney Trouble. I'm here at the Feminist Porn Awards because I have 7 nominations. My website, which I've been running since 2002, has been nominated for the first best website category. And my website is Nofo, N-O-F-A-U-X-X-X.com. It's queer porn. And also, I've been nominated for 6 of my films. Bordello, Speakeasy, 7 Minutes in Heaven 1 coming out, 7 Minutes in Heaven 2, Tenderhearted, Roulette Berlin, Roulette Dirty South. Yeah.
So how would you define, describe what's for you that make porn queer? Like, what's queer in your work?
For me, it's not so much about sexual orientation. A lot of it has to do with diversity, actually. A lot of people talk about queer being an umbrella term that sort of fits. If you think about the definition of queer, a lot of people say queer to mean outside of the box or strange or odd or whatever. So in that sense, it's pretty true that queer porn is porn that is outside of the box. Everything that I produce and everything that I perform in really goes against every single societal norm. Or it uses it in a sort of fucked up, perverted kind of artistic way to sort of twist it around on itself. So for me, queer porn has a lot to do with looking at what we've been offered up until this point and sort of twisting it and making it our own, which I think the queer sexuality, as far as the GLBT situation, is actually, like, a lot of people call themselves queer because they don't fit the gay, lesbian, bisexual norms, even the transsexual norms, you know? So, for me, queer porn is really, like, fucking the normal.
And I was wondering about, the process in when you're doing a film, for example, when you did... Like the small stories in Roulette, for example. What's the process with the people? Like, did you decide what was gonna happen? How did you deal with them about, like, what's gonna be on the picture at the end?
Oh gosh, Roulette is the best because it's so unplanned. You know, I meet people, we decide, like, where we're gonna be, what, you know, like, who it is, what's gonna be. A lot of the times I don't get the chance to really meet or know the people that I'm working with because Roulette, the first one I did in San Francisco, which where I'm from, but every single one after that has been, in Berlin, in the South U.S., in Toronto. So it's, you know, I don't really get to know the people. And a lot of the people I work with, I either knew before or I get to know really well. I really love making friends with the people that I shoot. So with Toronto, or like with Roulette, Toronto, Roulette to South, Roulette Berlin, like, I didn't really know what would happen. And that's sort of the idea, you know, like, the game Roulette is like you are gambling and you spin and you don't know what you're going to land on. And, but sort of like the idea of Love Nofo Roulette is that whatever you spin on, you're going to win. And it's really sort of questioning the audience. What it is challenging the audience's perception of attraction and the whole idea of looking, when people look for porn, they're looking for something in particular. And what Roulette really is challenging that notion of, like, you could land on anything in Roulette and think it's hot, you know? And it could be, I mean, Roulette's all over the place. There's boys fucking girls and girls fucking boys and girls fucking girls and boys fucking boys, and then there's people who don't call themselves girls or boys, and it doesn't matter where they came from, and they're just doing what comes natural to them. And that's where it's just like, it's kind of like that moment of, like, what am I watching and why is it turning me on so much, you know? Like, that's what I run on with Roulette.
And how do you deal with the fact of, like, the you want to challenge the audience, but you want the audience to buy your product because you're having a sustainable business? So how do you deal with, like, the challenge and, like, pushing them to something else and then be, like, something sustainable economically on the market?
You know, it's kind of a game of Roulette for me too. But my end goal is to make a piece of art that I am so proud of. You know, everything I make, every movie that I put out this year, my website, every week, every 3 days when I update my website, it's like, you know, I don't know who sees it or what they think about it. My goal is to just make it and be so happy with it and to challenge myself and to make me challenge my attractions, because if I can challenge my attractions, certainly my audience can. And it's, I don't even try to think about like what people are into or how much money it's going to make. It's one of those things where I'm sure every single person here who's nominated tonight for the Feminist Porn Awards will also say, it doesn't matter how much money I make, I'm still going to keep doing this exactly the way I'm doing it.
Okay, last question. We're at the Feminist Porn Award. What's feminism for you? How does it interact with your life, like your porn director work or your life in general?
Yeah. Well, I was raised by a single father, which is pretty rare. I feel like I've met very few people who have been raised by a single man. And he's a little, he's cool. My dad's really hip and kind of was just like, at a really, like when I was 14, he quit his day job and started his own business. And I saw that and I was empowered right away at such a young age to really, not because I was a woman and he was telling me to, or because he was a man and that's what he's empowered to do, but like, I saw my parental figure take charge of his own life and be super empowered and make his own money and build his own company and make his art and be friends with who he wants to be friends with. And so for me, it was never really a question of feminism. It was a question of empowering yourself, regardless of whether you're a man or a woman. And maybe that's where feminism has come to now, is that you can make a choice to empower yourself no matter what gender you are at all, you know? And it's something we all fight for, and, you know, the struggle still continues. I've been thinking a lot lately about how third wave feminism has, like, sort of affected the porn industry. And, you know, second wave feminism was really sort of anti-sex. And then, you know, in the 80s, in the 90s, there was, like, Carol Queen and Annie Sprinkle and Candida Royale and all these people who are just like, actually, feminism is a lot more than women making the same amount of money or whatever. Like, we need to bring sexuality into this. And they started supporting sex workers, and the word sex worker was created. And when I think about feminism and porn together, I really, really, really think a lot about sex work and about the women and men who are, like, in Los Angeles working. They're working. They're making porn. That's what they do, you know? And for me, a lot of my connection between feminism and pornography has a lot to do with respecting sex workers for doing the job that they do. And also, you know, of course, in a situation like this, we also need to respect the artists who are pushing boundaries and calling their own work feminist, you know, and stuff like that. A lot of it has to do with respecting sex workers and making sure that the people who are down there working in Los Angeles get their rights respected and their desires respected and, you know, making it a safe place to work. As well as us artists and other stuff in other places, and sex workers in other places, you know, still finding funding and support for, like, the sort of low, you know, more low-budget, artistic, indie stuff that's being celebrated tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.